Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is On. Experience the magic of the Penn Relays with On. Races, athletes, new kits, new faces. Try the latest On running shoe innovations, customize your gear, and more. For the full event schedule, keep tabs on the Penn Relays website. And if you can't be there in person, follow On Instagram for all of the action. The City of Smack team will be in Philadelphia at Franklin Field for that weekend slate of races. We're so excited. Thanks to On for supporting City of Smack. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Before we hit our interview, you know we love giving listeners a shout-out when they leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want yours to be read, leave us a 5-star review and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from at Kevin_Mar10, who wrote, "It's the running podcast content we didn't know we deserved. From race preview to meet recaps, it's the conversations and stories that for so long went untold. Love the coverage and energy that the City of Smack crew brings to the sport." That's the whole mission here at City of Smack, is to make you care about the athletes and also tell some of those often overlooked or forgotten stories. So thanks for your review, Kevin.
Mac Fleet here, taking over for another interview from our recent trip to Boulder to check in with the On Athletics Club. My guest for today's episode is 2024 1500-meter world indoor champion George Beamish, who was just named to New Zealand's Olympic team for Paris in the steeplechase. He's coming off the best outdoor season of his career, where he and coach Dathan Ritzenhide decided to go all in on the steeplechase, lowering his personal best to 8:13 and ultimately finishing 5th in the World Championship Final and 3rd in the Diamond League Final. In this episode, we chat about his indoor title race, the current state of the sport, and what he'd like to see changed, his lethal textbook George kick, and what he's most looking forward to in this 2024 outdoor season. Without further ado, here's Jordy Beamish.
Welcome to the City of Smack podcast. I am Mac Fleet, and we are joined by 2024 indoor world 1500-meter champion, George Beamish. How does that sound? Has it really sunk in yet?
No, probably as like far away as you can get from always thinking I was going to do it. Yeah. Sounds ridiculous when people say
okay,
it.
Why is that?
I just don't think I ever needed to feel like I like had to achieve that kind of thing to like keep me in the sport and like get through hard workouts or like get through the grind of running and or just to enjoy the sport. Like I didn't need the dream of winning worlds or the allure of a medal to get me going. And now that I have one, it's pretty freaking sweet. But I just don't think I ever needed it. But yeah, it's pretty epic.
Okay, so now that you have one, does that sort of shift your focus or mindset or like dreams at all? I mean, we're in an Olympic year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it doesn't really change how I approach day-to-day training or the season, really, apart from the kind of couple of doors that it might open in terms of a race or two that I might not have been able to get into. I'm going to use that that kind of golden ticket while I have it. But I think Josh Kerr put it well when he won, you know, Worlds outdoors, and he was saying, like, how hard it is to win one in the first place, that, you know, obviously you want to keep winning them, but there's no point putting in the expectation that you have to go and win it every single time. Otherwise, like, the season's a failure. Mm-hmm. Like, that achieves nothing, thinking like that. And, you know, I have no intention of putting that kind of pressure on it or anything. I think you can achieve a lot of success and enjoyment in the sport without having to win a medal at every single championship. And you know, I love winning races, and I'm gonna try and keep winning some. But Yeah.
Is it difficult right now, looking at the outdoor season, to put that race in sort of the rear view mirror and focus on what's coming up in the summer? Or are the plans this summer so big that, you know, you sort of have to shift your focus to what's in front of you?
Mm. I think most of us at this level of the sport have learned to have a pretty short memory, good race or bad race. Like, the sport moves on so quickly. Mm. And I think running, just training for running, is so humbling that you feel pretty bad, mm-hmm. like pretty quickly again. In terms of, like, it's not every day you feel like you're in world champion shape. Like, there aren't that many days you feel that good in running that, you know, that it's easy to look forward to what you've got to do to keep it up.
Do you think that that's maybe a product of how good the team is? But how good OAC is, that everyone around you is so good that maybe days where you think that you're sucking in practice is actually better than 99% of the other pros out there?
I mean, I don't know about 99%, but I mean, yeah, the bar is set high, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's a good thing. No one gets too far ahead of themselves. And there's always someone to bring you back down a little bit and kind of push you. And yeah, I think that's a decent amount of it. But I think just most people at this level of sport kind of are always, it's a bit of a curse, mm-hmm. you know, to always be looking forward to the next thing. Like, I've tried to, you know, not take it for granted these last few weeks and tried to really like just remember how special it was and how incredible of a week it was in general. And you know, it's always special to wear the black singlet, and you know, I try not to take that for granted. And you know, it's always special to wear it, but to become world champ in the black jersey was pretty epic.
There's no more, you don't have to do any more, not that you did them, but big things ahead, or stay tuned, like everyone loves to do on social media for runners that are like, oh, so I'm fit, big things ahead. I feel like you were kind of stuck in between events there for a little bit. I don't know, did you feel that way?
Yeah, you know, a year or two there, I probably was. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have the kind of training capacity to run the 5K probably. It felt a little out of reach. And, you know, the 1500, for whatever reason, you know, I just wasn't in a position to run a really fast one for some reason. But I just lacked consistency in general. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to be successful at any distance without a high level of consistency for a decent amount of time. And, you know, now I've had that for a bit, and yeah, I went to the steeple in between that, but that level of consistency also obviously carried over to running. You know, I finally felt like I made the jump that I thought I was going to a couple of years ago on the 5K, mm-hmm. and the 1500 as well at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, everything just kind of comes together when you have that consistency.
Does that win, does that affect your steepling at all? Is there I don't know if that's giving away too much. I don't know if there's any sort of secret plans or anything like that, but does that change your steepling career?
Hopefully it makes it better. I don't know.
Okay, so
hopefully Albacali was watching.
So we're leaning into the steepling.
Absolutely.
Or are we in a space where it doesn't really matter, and whatever you're most fit in, that's what we're going for?
I'm not going to run 5K.
Okay.
I'll put that out there. Okay. I don't think I'm happy to run a 5K or two a year. I think it's, you know, I enjoy it enough to run one or two. It's hard, and I'd love to be a 12 something guy at some point. It's mm-hmm. got a good ring to it, but I just don't. I'm not going to run 12:40 something, and I'm definitely not going to do it in the middle of summer when it's hot as shit. And that just doesn't interest me.
So if we had to put percentages on, for not running the 5K, so 15 steepler percentages, are we 50-50? Is it a 90-10? Or just this outdoor season? Or how do you view yourself as an athlete?
I'm just a runner, you know?
Okay, okay.
I feel like labeling myself in one event group doesn't change what I can do. And, right. Like, I don't think that achieves anything,
right,
that I need to have a label on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be good at a few different events, and you know, I said before, and I think I'm only going to be, you know, defending world champ, only people only remember that for so long. So hopefully, you know, that'll get me into a race or two at that distance for in the near future, but it's probably not going to last forever. So can you take advantage of that?
Can you describe the differences in racing at that elite level? I guess there's two parts of that. There's now people just have to run so fast in order to qualify. Like the standards are insane. And then you get to the championship racing, and that is, that can be either or, you know, slow or fast, for both the steeple and the 15. Can you just kind of give listeners how different those two races are when you're in them?
I think that the standards do not improve the sport at the moment. Like, I think we need to do away with them pretty soon, especially in, like, the 10K is the best example of it. It's just, I don't think the standards is a good representation of who should be on the world stage. Like, people have shown so many times that, you know, you don't need to have run the standard to be really successful. Like, Mario was in on ranking in Eugene and finished fourth. Right. And, you know, I think the ranking system is too complex at the moment, like, obviously, but I think it's a good way to qualify for a major championship. And I hope we go that way. Like, they're kind of talking like, you know, the rankings are going to be more and more important each year. And, I think that's a big improvement in terms of hitting a pretty arbitrary time. You just get to the world champs and the playing field is leveled so much without the need to hit a time. And, you know, showing the guy that wins worlds isn't always the guy that wins the time trial all throughout the year. And, you know, I wish there were more of those races. And I think people would enjoy it more. And, like, there's so much entertainment value in a race without having to try and hit the standard every single race. And especially at the Diamond League level, like, I haven't been in a Diamond League 1500 or mile. Actually, I was in one a couple of years ago in Birmingham, and it was probably like the slowest Diamond League 1500 in the last 5 years, which should have been a good thing, but I wasn't very good at running back then. But I think, like, most people in the Diamond League circuit, they don't need the standard. So why do we have to go for the world record every single day?
I was going to ask about some of these things later, but we can do it now since we're talking about, like, you know, standards and world athletics and whatnot. I mean, I'm fully on board with that. I don't think that there should be rabbits. I don't think there should be pace lights. I think the going so time focused is also crushing the sport. And I agree that the ranking system is way too complicated for, as a sport, I feel like you need someone that has rocks for brains to be able to understand how someone can qualify in order for them to be a fan from a distance. And yeah, it's at the current moment, it's insane when you have probably the top 100 times the mile and the 5K all coming from BU, because people just go there to run as fast as they can to hit a standard that they're going to run in August, you know, just to qualify for a race that they might run in August. Like, that just doesn't make sense in terms of, you know, total entertainment. Can you speak a little bit about the actual championship racing? And do you feel like maybe your NCAA career has given you a little bit of an advantage to races like you just won in Glasgow, because you have a little bit more of that championship style racing? And I guess when you were in NCAAs, there was a little bit less focus on running so fast like there is right now.
Yeah, I think, I mean, shit, just championship racing brings so many, you know, more elements into the race than just, you know, who's the fittest. And, you know, that's why we run the race. Otherwise, you know, I think one of the most ridiculous things I heard at indoors from the Norwegian side was, like, you know, whoever has the lowest lactate values for the lap to go, like, that person wins the race. Like, so we don't even need to run the last lap. We'll just run half the race, take a lactate value, and whoever's lowest,
they
just get the medal.
Right.
Like, we just don't even run the race anymore? Like, what kind of...
The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is Olipop. This has been an exciting year for Olipop. In addition to renewing their partnership with us for 2024, they are now being sold at Aldi and Wawa. They've been popping up with events, advertising, and branding in Austin, Miami, and D.C. They just signed on to sponsor John Hunter Nemechek and car number 42 in the NASCAR Cup Series. Big things are happening. What has become known as the runner soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows. It's good for you, too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, and only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout could never. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for that next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime, although tropical punch is a close number 2. Caitlin Tui's number 1 flavor is ginger lemon. There's other greats like vintage cola, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla. Sidious Mag podcast listeners, you get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout when you visit drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and other retailers. But we encourage you to shop online at drinkolipop.com, support Sidious Mag, and use code SIDIOUS25 at checkout. The next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. Drinkolipop.com, code SIDIOUS25.
People watch the ball because, like, we don't know what's going to happen. That's why people want to see it. And, you know, I think being in the NCAA, I think indoors it showed, like, there are a lot of NCAA runners that medaled. You know, Bryce, Cole, myself. I almost said Hobbs, but he didn't really. I guess he didn't go to a lot of NCAA.
Right, yeah.
But...
yeah, Ellie, Nikki.
Yeah,
Nikki. You're right, a ton.
You know, Josh even. Yeah. Josh and Yared, like... And especially indoors, like, we run a lot of indoors, and, you know, being in NAU, we would go... We would run Big Sky Champs on a wooden track in Idaho at altitude, and times mean absolutely nothing. Like, it's just... There's no point even thinking about it. And, you know, it makes racing a lot of fun, and... I just have way more interest in that side of the sport. You know, we're at this point, we're professional athletes. People, like, we're supposed to be, it's a product. We're supposed to be entertainment. Like, people pay to come watch us run. Like, that's literally the sport. Like, people are paying money to watch us provide entertainment. And I think there's, like, such a skewed, like, version of the sport where they are not necessarily getting the best entertainment that the sport can provide. And that's why, you know, obviously the way I run is my biggest strength, but I also think it's pretty entertaining. And, you know, I want to be remembered not just for winning, but for, you know, how I win races. And I want people to think, like, you know, this race is going to be entertaining because he's in it. Mm-hmm. And, like, just provide some value to the sport, aside from just, you know, chasing after arbitrary times. And the commentators spend the whole time talking about, you know, the times people are trying to run, and, like, whether or not, like, this, oh, the race was disappointing because we didn't run the world record. Like, who gives a shit? Let's focus on some people racing each other.
I would say that's one of my biggest gripes, is the final call, yeah, of a race. And the commentators are going... And George Beamish is crossing the finish line, and it's not a world record, but you won the race.
Yeah.
And it's in my mind, the point is to win the race. It's not, every single time we're out there, is not to set a world record. And just the how that leaves viewers that maybe aren't that knowledgeable of the sport to know the meaningfulness of winning. They're like, wait, the commentator's disappointed, mm-hmm, so I should be disappointed as a fan,
yeah,
even though... This is a championship race or a diamond league, which is, you know, a prestigious thing to win and all that stuff. And just the filter between the commentators and the fans, I think is such an important relationship of showing what is exciting and what is important, that obviously something that we can, I don't know, I think can be improved. You talk about your style of racing being exciting. Did winning that race validate everything? You know, I'm sure there has to be some races where either Mike Smith or Dathan are going, what are you doing? Like, just get up there, you know, or even yourself. You're like, I left it a little bit too late or whatnot. did that just validate everything? And like, no one can say anything to you ever again, because you're like, hey, guess what? I just won.
Did you see Gert's interview the day before?
No.
He was like, if you don't know how to front run, you'll never win anything. And I took that personally. No, I didn't, of course. But I mean, it's not even, I mean, yeah, like I somehow managed to get the timing right. Mm-hmm. Fairly often at this point, and it's a lot of fun to get it just right. I just think that's the only way I am going to be interested in running, and you know, I have a lot more fun, and yeah, it's validating for sure. I don't think it's not going to be the way to run 3:43 probably, but you know, I'm not interested in running 3:43 yet.
Right.
Can you maybe
explain how challenging it can be though to front run, you know, like it's
I've never done it.
I know, but and that's what I'm saying is to go out onto that ledge is risky in a way if you're not familiar with it. But also I think what is lost is how comfortable front runners are up front. And equally, if you put them in sixth place with 500 to go, they're freaking out. Someone like Jacob enjoys front running and he's best at that. And then equally you on the other side enjoy running from behind, you know, and catching people over the last 400 meters.
I mean, it's so impressive what people can do from the front. And, you know, Yuck is probably just fitter than everyone else right. on the planet right. and he's comfortable there. So I'm pretty comfortable like leading tough workouts up here. Like I'm happy to take reps, and you know, that part doesn't scare me. And you know, for some reason I'm often just like getting to the front mm-hmm. actually requires some like you got to be prepared to make something big at the start happen to get there. And that always just seems a bit out of reach for me. You know, maybe I should try it out sometime, but you know, at this level of the sport, it's honestly, you have to be pretty damn good to get to the front right. anyway. You know, we guess in the Diamond League at the moment, it's like 95% fitness.
Right.
You know, if not more than that. And that's just kind of the cards we're dealt at the moment. But, you know, I'd love to see a bit more pressure being put on the athletes to, you know, I'd love to put some pressure on Jakob to try and, from like, I don't know, the media or something to tell him that, you know, people want to see him win a race in a different way. Like, I think people quite like seeing him in the semifinal in Budapest, like put himself at the back and actually like have to run down to people, and he could do it. Like
right.
he is good enough. But, you know, I'd love to see these meets, like, you know, we're obviously getting a big showdown at Pre, and, you know, the reality is at the moment, the athletes are so much bigger than the meets. Mm-hmm. That they just have so much power
right.
and can dictate the race before it even starts. Right. Like, I'd love to see the meet just say, no, this is what we're going to do. Like, this is our meet. You're lucky to be running here, as opposed to we're lucky to have you. Which, like, every other sport that, you know, that's the case. Every other big sport, like, no one's getting paid to go to Wimbledon. Like, they right. the big events are so much bigger than the athletes, like, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think you end up with a better product. And so, you know, I'd love to see that a little more and during the season, but it seems right. unlikely.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code CITYSMAG20 at checkout at velusfootwear.com.
So if we're talking about rules and what's entertaining in track, if you were made president of World Athletics tomorrow, what's your first rule you're changing? What are you implementing?
Shit. That one's hard. I think just putting all the incentives, taking all the incentives away from breaking world records at big meets and putting them that same incentive into winning the race. Like there's too much of an incentive to go break a world record at a Diamond League that, like a financial incentive and probably, and I think they've just like convinced the sport just like kind of feeds on or like convinces the audience that a world record attempt is something that we should be really excited about. And in some ways we should, but I don't think those things should be happening at the meets where we are selling out stadiums in Europe. Like, and then a world record attempt, because then you're setting yourself up for failure if you don't hit it. And then the whole race is like we tried to hit the world record, but we didn't. And now we're not actually that interested in who placed in the top three. And
you'll have you'll have two races going on.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Like there's a big, if you break the world record of the Diamond League, like you just make an extra 50 grand from World Athletics or from the Diamond League. I don't know how it works, but like there's a financial incentive every single Diamond League. And so then the meets want to have world record attempts at all their Diamond Leagues all year round. And there's no doubt that there are massive contract incentives, I'm sure,
right,
for a world record every single time. And to win a Diamond League, you make 10 grand, which is like peanuts for all those people. And it was 10 grand, I don't know how many years ago, and it's still 10 grand. And, you know, second and third place have, like, they've reduced the prize money in the last few years to, they're just taking away the incentive to place high.
Right.
Which just makes no sense to me.
Right. I can go all day about that.
Let's talk something positive about the sports.
Okay, it's something positive. How was your win received back home in New Zealand? And is New Zealand having a bit of a moment right now in track?
I mean, I think the showing in Glasgow did huge things for the sport. I mean, at least I hope. And we got like a huge amount of support back home. Like we had 10 athletes in Glasgow, I think, took home 2 golds and 2 silvers. And people were pretty excited about it back home. Capping off, like we'd already had probably the most successful, I mean, surely the most successful indoor champs, you know, before I stepped foot on the track and what was like the last event of the weekend. And then, you know, New Zealand takes a lot of pride in its 1500 history with Snell, Walker, you know, all those guys in the 60s and 70s, and then obviously Willis more recently. And people love, you know, people love talking about that back home. And so, I think to have a gold medal in the 1500, people are pretty stoked about it. I felt a huge amount of support from back home.
All right, between you three, between you, Ollie, and Morgan, who knows the most about track and field?
I think probably me.
Okay. Of the three of you, who would be the best coach? And then who would be the worst?
I'm going to say me again, based on...
For best coach? Okay. Why?
Between the three of us?
Yeah.
They've coached 0 people and I've coached 1 person for like 2 months.
Experience, okay.
So experience.
We have something on the resume.
And I think Ollie would be the worst. I think he's just the more emotional runner out of the three of us.
Okay.
Like I have an easier time separating the emotions from the physical aspect of running. I think he they're more joined for him, which I think is part of the reason he's so good, because he is, you know, he runs with heart on his sleeve. And Morgan's probably somewhere in the middle. And so I think, I'm trying to imagine it.
No, that's good. Last question here. What's a successful 2024 season for you? And if it's already, hey, my goals are done, for the entire year. What is a successful outdoor season for George Beamish after winning an indoor title?
I think it's similar to not really needing the dream of being world champ to still be world champ. I think it's the same with, like, I don't need a set, you know, number of goals to reach to say whether it was a successful season or not. You know, I'd love to compete for a few more wins outdoors. I think just the Diamond League is such a high level of racing, you know, steeplechase or not, that that is so hard to be competing for a win in those races. Like, those Diamond League steeplechases are just so fast, so early, and getting within reach, like, in the last lap is so hard. And I'm hopefully I've made a bit of a jump in terms of fitness to be able to race a bit more, but you know, that's when I'm enjoying the sport. I think, you know, if you can get close to the front of a steeplechase race like that, you're going to run fast. So, you know, I don't have an arbitrary time goal or anything, but, you know, I don't want to set any limitations to a success or not, because I don't want to reach the end of the year and be, you know, be disappointed for no reason, because, you know, I think hopefully I can have a lot of fun and spend a bunch of time in Europe and race with some friends and, you know, put on the black jersey again in Paris, which is, you know, just a huge honor every single time, and just will be really special. And yeah, just race some people.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Good. Great to be here.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit CityusMag.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.